Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Healthy Happy Humans with me, Pendulum Physio, Declan Judge. Today is Marty Harrison and Ryan McMahon, who are the owners of One Fit clothing brand. This is a company that has rose to great success out of Portadown, Northern Ireland. And these guys have been a real pleasure to record this episode with. I can't wait to do another one with them. There's a lot of laughing, a lot of joking, a lot of fun in this episode, but there's also a lot of heartfelt real talk going on here. So please enjoy, please listen in. Be warned that there is explicit content and cursing in this episode, so if that's not your thing, maybe consider switching to a different episode. But if you're happy enough, plow on ahead, and please consider sharing on social media or leaving us some reviews or feedbacks. We really like hearing what people think. And tune in to the little summary at the end. Enjoy.
One take, let's go.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Healthy Happy Humans. Me, Declan Judge, also known as Pendulum Physio, and absolutely delighted today to have a couple of friends of mine here. What are you going to call us? The studio? We've spent an hour messing around with audio equipment, but Martin Harrison, Ryan McMahon, very welcome to the podcast. How are you boys doing today?
Good, man.
All good, yeah.
Happy to be here.
Happy days. Well, we've got nothing to talk about because we just spent the last hour talking crap on the microphone.
Literally.
I think we're going to have to do explicit content for this episode because I think we are going to say shite and fuck and all those other kind of things.
We're definitely going to say shite and fuck.
I actually should have asked before this, what way is that going to work, because we're going to say it a lot like.
No, but I'd be telling you to save your material because yeah. You were giving away all your best jokes. testing.
I think some of the stuff we talked about is probably better left unrecorded though.
For my reputation anyway.
Well, look, for anybody who's going to listen to this one, you guys are going to be best known in Northern Ireland and in Ireland as One Fit, the fitness clothing brand. But look, you guys are well known around Portadown locally and around the Craigavon, Portadown area. So do you want to tell it, Ryan, sorry, you mate, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
The way I got into, I'm a photographer, mm-hmm. At the minute I'm full-time photographer, creative, also do a bit of video work as well. So the way I got into that was, I had went to university and stuff, and I had done a business degree with media studies. Wasted time, drank the head off myself. I actually got the nickname Von Wilder because I repeated first year so many times. So I had done first year, then I went and I was like, look, I drank the head off myself first year. Went to my course director at the end. I was like, hey, I want to change courses. I just wanted to repeat. Then they were like, right, what do you want to do? He says, right, I want to do interactive media arts. Load of shade. Went and done that. Drank the head off myself again. Then I had to repeat again without a tense, I think it was, or with. It was one of them. And I had a class every Tuesday at 4:30. And I never went to one. So went to uni. Dropped out. Got a job. Never really picked up a camera. It was actually, I actually never picked up a camera until Marty messaged me to do a couple of photo shoots for Fitting Fitness, which Marty will talk about.
Mm.
But that's sort of where my passion started. I was always into creative stuff. Whenever I was younger, I would have done a wee bit of video stuff with my cousin Dean at Craigavon. We would have done wee stupid things like wrestling videos and stuff.
Yeah.
I was always into the editing. I love the way things are pieced together. I would rather watch how a movie is made than watch the movie. Mm-hmm. I would rather watch the editing on the screen than watch the actual story played. But I got a camera, still working a job, and then from there I've worked with like the likes of Under Armour. I was meant to have a photo shoot with the protein bar company Burbells.
Burbells.
So pronounced,
yeah.
Burbells.
Yeah.
And the drink company Naco.
Work
with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously work with One Fit, and then a load of gyms work with yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much me in a short nutshell of what I do. But
I never would have hired you if I knew that you just didn't even have any qualifications, mate.
I had none.
I'm joking.
The very first photo shoot, I turned up with Marty. I had never picked up a camera before in my life. We actually borrowed a camera from Chris Wilson.
Yeah.
And I had no fucking clue what to do. I went into the gym. We just ran around the gym. It was 11:30 at night because it was the only time the gym was free for us. Marty had just finished a shift in Sainsbury's and stuff, and I'd finished my shift down back. went after work, and I hadn't a fucking clue. I just it's complete fake it till you make it type of thing, right? But then you start imperfect and you get perfect along the way, like, so. That's pretty much
pretty typical story of learning on the job, man.
It's the way you operate. You're probably the same, man. Whenever you start a business,
mm-hmm.
had no fucking clue what you were doing. I think everybody's the same.
Well, I once said didn't have a clue what I
was doing. He's like, qualified physio, like,
no. Is that an arm or a leg? Jesus.
not in terms of what you actually do, but in terms of like business, like,
you 100%, right, mate. Like, even look at us messing about for an hour trying to get the audio right. Like, you know, I'm learning as I go. I think in a different episode, I was talking to a coach about when you're done learning, you're done. Do you know, like, why not just pack up and die if you think that you're just done learning in life? Like, I love trying to experiment with this podcast because I'm learning a load of bits at a time, and it's non-physio stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, like, you didn't know you were going to be a photographer. You just sort of threw yourself into it at one point.
Just threw myself into it and learned along the way. And that's probably one of the things that stops a lot of people, is that they think they have to have all their things in order before they even start. When you don't, you can just start and then get good along the way.
Mm.
Like, whenever I picked up a camera, like, in your shade, there was no way that I thought I was going to do photo shoots for Under Armour.
Mm.
And like, and stuff like that, and videos as well for them. And it's mad. It's, and as well, like, I love MMA. That's my sport. I love it.
Mm.
I've been to Brave, Bellator, Bama. There was a Polish one down in the Three Arena in Dublin. Like, my camera has taken me all these places. I have actually sat in the corner with John Kavanagh while he coached his fighters, and I could hear John Kavanagh shout to his fighter, look low, kick high, and I knew right as it was going to come, and then I got the photo, because I know what I mean. So I was in the corner with John Kavanagh, and then behind John Kavanagh was Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
So my camera has took me literally to me you away from Conor McGregor.
You imagine telling your 15-year-old self that was going
to
happen?
Man, I used to work in a warehouse, Morgan McLernan's, right?
Sorry to interrupt you, but a couple of their lorries have nearly killed me. Just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah,
that, right?
Whenever I was there, someone actually did get killed on the road. He was on the motorway on a bike. But I worked in Morgan McLernan's, and it was Sean and Ran, and we were scooting about on the wee pallet trucks, and I actually said to him, he goes, man, imagine being paid for taking photos. I was like, imagine being paid for doing photo shoots. Like,
and like in a non-CD way.
Yeah. like not taking pictures anymore through people's windows. Actually in a studio. But I said that to him, and then like a year later, that's when I got my first camera. And I actually done a photo shoot with Rand's first child. It was first birthday shoot. That's how I started off. I started off with baby shoots and pictures of flowers, just anything, man, to get experience.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely hated it, but it
somewhere along the way, you know, you ended up in business with Martin here.
Yeah.
Do you want to do yourself to the mic there, Martin?
Hi, so hey, Marty. Run OneFit and my journey kind of started when I was sort of 15, heavily overweight, wee nerd, all of them play games, but anyway, I got into fitness then. Like, so I asked my neighbour at the time. So he actually ran VO2, D-Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him for a workout plan and a nutrition plan. I followed it all summer and then joined the gym at the end of summer. That was me sort of getting into fitness. And back the next summer in the school, was sort of starting to be on the sports teams, starting to become first in, you know, like athletics and stuff and mm-hmm. PE and all. Started drinking too, like, so I found fitness. I find drinking, so I kind of found like a social life with it as well.
Trying to keep balance in the force.
Trying to keep balance, you know. So as much as I find fitness, I find a social life as well. I'm starting to get me extra out and about. So fell in love with fitness, fell in love with socialising. Went to go on in school then to do ASs. Got kicked out halfway through the first year, so didn't make that.
What did you get kicked out for?
Being a wee dick. Never going to class, never doing coursework, never paying attention. I had no interest. Went back the next year to do a business and finance course. Kicked out again after a couple of months. Same shit, like. Just no interest in school, like. Worked for a couple of years. Then decided to go back to uni. And I was actually making a go at that bit. I went back into my excess course in Masphys and mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Then went into engineering, done 2 years of it. And then I dropped out to do One Fit, Fitty Fitness at the time. Well, I started Fitty Fitness and then sort of halfway through that second year. And just time became a thing. So I was like, I was trying to dedicate my time. So I was working part-time, which I had to, I had no choice. And then I had to do uni, obviously, and then I had to do Fitty Fitness as well. And I got to the point where I was like, it's half-assed both or go into one at all. That's kind of like, I can always finish uni, I can always go back.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to drop out then and do Fitty Fitness at the time, which is when I started talking to you then. So like Rand said, I asked him to give me a hand with the first logos and the first photo shoots, just because I knew he had an interest in photography and creative stuff, which I didn't. So I was like, sort of reaching out to people that you could help me. And so that's where me and Rand started there. That was me just basically deciding what I wanted to do. So I kind of had the idea for Fitty Fitness about a year before I started it. And then sort of played on for a year. And was like, right, if I started this a year ago, where would I be now? So if I wait another year, another 2 years,
mm-hmm.
or never started, like, wow, what could it have been? So I kind of just decided to kick the bucket and go for it.
Just, there was just something inside you that just said, look, just go now or never?
Yeah, something inside me. I just kind of woke up one day and I was like, where would I be now if I started a year ago? Like, mm-hmm. what have I wasted the past year? So I just said, fuck it, I'm going to give it a go. And sure, worst that happens, it doesn't happen.
So roughly what year was that?
2015.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it was then, you were just about 2 years later, maybe 2017, and I think I met you guys for the first time. Mutual friend of ours, Decky Cusack, had sort of introduced us, and you guys were planning FitCon at the time.
Yeah, first FitCon would have been...
It would have been 2017. I can remember doing the logo.
Yeah, 2017.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's how we got introduced.
That's how we got introduced, yeah.
And that's how our bromance world changed for the three of us.
Well, sorry, you figured me many times on the table.
Jesus. So,
McGroy.
Your name, mum, doesn't listen to this.
So, look, FitCon was awesome. Do you know?
FitCon was good.
It was awesome, right? So here's the thing about FitCon is I love the idea, and it's really, really hard to snowball that idea into like a fucking Red Bull X-Wings international multimedia multi-million billion dollar industry. But as an idea, I thought just that pure simplicity of your tagline to me, Ryan, was we want to give back. We want to sort of give something free to the fitness community for the day. And so how did that come about?
We were down at the Irish Muscle Power Expo. Every year we always go all out at it. One thing that we sort of saw was that it was an expo where everyone had the same interest.
Mm.
But everyone was like all over the place. Like no one was actually interact with each other or sort of, you know what I mean? Like actually coming together. So me and Marty were out on a walk around Craigavon Lakes, and we were just talking and we were just spitballing ideas each other. Like we need to have some where like if there's a talk going on, there's not like 10 people at this talk and there's 100 people over there and everyone's not getting, you know what I mean? And then it started off like a meetup, was it? It started off a meetup.
So we were kind of, because we'd done the expos and we loved them, we were kind of taking the things that we seen wrong with them.
Mm.
And was like, so Grant said about people, like there's like 1,000 people under the one roof and they're bumping shoulders past each other, not speaking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if you put your interests and hobbies all down the page, you should all be best mates.
Yeah.
Because you're all loving, you all have the same interests and hobbies, but nobody speaks to each other. Even you walk past the booth, someone tries to talk to you, you're like, nah, I don't want to talk to you. Because it's like, trying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was one thing, was like trying to get people to come to an event and actually be at an event together.
And be present and be part of
well, it's neither One Fit but Fitty Fitness at the time. We always sort of push this thing of like family, where it's like everyone is together, everyone is one, like a community type thing. So that's what we wanted to sort of build. So we came up with the idea of FitCon. Marty actually wanted to call us was it Sunday Fun Day or something like that?
Fitness Fun Day.
Fitness Fun Day. I was like,
fitness Fun Day. Man. Sunday Fun Day's been taken, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It sounded like something at like a primary school saying that we came up with FitCom. FitCom stands for Fitness Community.
Mm.
So FitCom, we wanted to do like a yearly event. So that's whenever Daki asked me to come over and talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I came over in the other room, talking away and stuff. And then you came along and then...
Well, look, you came from a good recommendation. He's obviously one of my oldest friends, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But straight away, I felt like, yeah, look, we just clicked. And even though you and I don't lift the phone and talk every week, it's like, I still feel like I would be in the car sometimes and just phone one of you guys just to see how you're doing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Since FitCom and meeting both of you, I definitely consider you both to be friends.
Definitely.
My circle of friends is quite small. I'm a very busy person. But it's like, you know, from that moment of FitCom and that positive idea to just link with the community, I was like, well, look, there's two guys that I can link with, and I just try to keep that link going forever.
That's one thing I find I definitely struggle with, and I'm sure you guys are both the same, and I know you are anyway, so you just want us to say you are as well. Do you find when you start a business, it's kind of hard to keep a friend circle?
Yeah.
It's just because you give so much attention to, especially you, the family as well, so you have to split between your family and business. There's not much time left.
Do you guys not find, though, that other people who run private businesses understand more about...
100%.
You have to be able to go for a long period of time with no contact, and that's not an impersonal thing. That's just you're working on your stuff, your shit. And if you hear from a friend after 6 months you haven't heard from, it's not like going, oh, where have you been for 6 months? It's about going, well, okay, what can we do?
The perfect example of that for me would be Kev. Kevin Breen, obviously he's like a brother to us, like, but because me and Marty work on, me and Marty grew up together as well, like Marty, we actually lived like 2 doors apart whenever we were children, but Kev was the same, but because me and him work with each other now, we rarely see Kevin anymore. Mm-hmm. So like I hate getting texts in terms of like, what are you doing this weekend, because I it's always work. I'm always working, so like I've said to Kev now, If you're planning anything and you want to go for a drink someday, man, just let me know a couple of weeks in advance, and then I'll book it off for you, or I'll make sure I'm free that time.
Yeah.
But it is something that
it has to go in the diary, like that.
Yeah.
Definitely struggle with.
Yeah.
It's definitely a struggle whenever you come into business. Anyone that's listening to this now, that's sort of in business now or wants to start a business, get ready for that one, like, because your social life takes a big hit.
It's not that you find out who your friends are, but you'll find out the people that you're mostly friends with because of your acquaintance with each other, like you have things to do together.
Mm.
If you take if you take those things to do away, how close do you remain?
Mm.
Like you said, if you don't call each other 6 months, pick up the phone, it should be like you spoke yesterday.
That's something, talking to other business owners about, talking to other people, and there's a couple of people on the podcast that have talked about just like being happy just to let certain things go, that you're working on your business or you're working on your plans, you're working on building your life, and if there's people that don't really fit with being a part of that, not necessarily forcing it, you know, letting the friends who want to be friends come and go in and out of your time as it fits, and not stressing too much about it.
Definitely, although you seem to also have a responsibility as well to make the effort with some people.
Yeah, well, like after this recording is over, we'll talk about trying to get down to the courthouse for a pint, but that's not going to happen for a long time.
20th of June, apparently. Is that happening?
Is that a date?
I've seen people online.
The place will be crammed.
Are they opening that soon, though? I've seen people online talking about outdoors. Apparently, outdoor bars can start serving again from 20th of June.
Right.
It would probably be under regulations, like table service and stuff. I'd love table service. Will they just bring a drink to you?
Bring me a
pint to get us every 15 minutes.
15 minutes? Every 3 gulps? Every time I go for my 3rd gulp, start pouring it on.
Wolf of Carton Street, by.
So, I hear that, dude.
So, look, I'm a little bit older than you boys, but it was funny going back to the Gravahy Road after such a long time, me living away from Portadown, because growing up there a few years just in front of you boys, I sort of, the last time I'd been in VO2 when it was just opened, very, very long time ago, and going back many, many years later, I don't know, like 12, maybe 15 years later, and the gym has grown immensely, and I'm back in it for the first time since the very, very first opening of it, and you guys are running FitCom. I couldn't believe the turnaround in the way that the area that I grew up in had changed, in terms of, you guys were launching this positivity day of the fitness community. But generally, seeing that gym as part of that community and the positive comings and goings, I hadn't seen that growing up. You know, I had seen people pretty horrible to each other a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Do you know?
I tell you, like I've said it before, I think the two best things for Portadown, obviously the times are sort of changing everywhere.
Yeah.
Because we're living in Northern Ireland, it is the sort of that culture of sectarianism back today.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you speak to the older generation, like your grandas and your mums and dads and stuff, it was far, far bigger back then. But like I've always said, I think that Bar 2 and VO2 has done wonders for the town, because you were together at the weekends and together during the week, so you were training together during the week, and then you were out drinking together at the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it kind of pushed it on, sort of mixing back then, like
a bit like Irish muscle power, like people, give people the opportunity to properly just mingle and talk to each other
big time.
Yeah,
that's kind of what you wanted to do with FitCom. It's basically getting more people.
Yeah, well, our tagline was connect, inspire, connect, empower, and educate.
Yeah.
Well, I think more people have connected through that than you guys even realise, do you know? Because they're not all going to feed back to you.
No.
There's a ton of people who found each other and develop connections moving forwards.
So there was one girl at the time, we had a girl on our team, Natalie, and she had a pretty big following. Natalie just was pretty, she was good at like motivating girls and stuff, and Natalie obviously went through her own struggles, but there was a girl, and that's her name, she was down at FitCom, and she listened to Natalie's talk, and then I just noticed the two of them out the back, like way off by themselves, and this other girl was crying, and Natalie was talking away at her and stuff, and then Natalie, she came over, and she was just like, yeah, she just talked to her basically about her own struggles, and she related to everything I did. So I was like, that's cool. Like, this girl came down, and like, she met someone like her, and there's someone that could help her, and she got some good advice that day, and it wouldn't have happened if we didn't put together FitCom. No.
But it's like you said, it's like when you do stuff like that, you'll never see the positive feedback from it. You know, you just can't have to accept that you're doing the event for what the reasons you believe in. They'll happen even if you don't know about them.
Like, growing up in the sort of 90s, early 90s to mid 90s, the stereotype of the fitness community was beefcakes in the gym lifting weights. Aye. Do you know what I mean? Or you know, skinny girls on the treadmill just running. And as a physio, I'm obviously a massive advocate of exercise, but for me, exercise is for everybody. All human beings, exercise is for you. You just don't necessarily have the right fit right now, but it's definitely for you. So I have seen since in around 2000 right through to now, massive, massive change in how many people and the kinds of people go to the gym. So it's not just beefcakes and gym bunnies anymore. It's like, it's everybody. So yeah. It's every shape and size of human being and every background and every income and every political persuasion. Loads and loads of people going to the gym now.
Yeah.
But that's where, you know, you're getting such a broad mix of humans there, and you're getting those sort of human connections. I think it's a bit more about, instead of that stereotype just being about chalk and bars, that it is a little bit more. Gyms are trying to build their communities.
Yeah. As much as I make fun of CrossFit, right, it's just because it's like the done thing, right? It's just like a standardized world joke about CrossFit, but like, they've done something amazing with community.
Yeah.
Like, you join a CrossFit gym, you're not going to the workout by yourself, you're wanting to do wads with people.
Yeah.
And put your timing against people.
And they've got very strong links with each other.
Very strong links, like they'll help each other with techniques, so they'll meet up for sessions, they'll work and stuff. CrossFit's definitely done like amazing stuff for its own fitness community.
It's not like I don't understand how people can be so critical of CrossFit. I don't know how you can single one type of exercise out and go, well, that's bullshit. It's done amazing things.
They just get a lot of grief for their form. I think that's the thing that started it all off. Like, they jokes online about their form.
There's nothing perfect anywhere. Do you know?
Never.
You know,
a bodybuilder did a deadlift, like, he's going right back.
You know, with epidemics of health all over the world, anything that gets people moving is a good thing. And nothing's flawless.
But then, like, they get a lot of grief about form, right? But you'll never see another type of fitness community work so much on technique. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, look, obviously I deal with injuries, so I see injuries from CrossFit, and I see injuries from powerlifting, and I see injuries from, you know, just treadmilling or running. I see injuries from all sports. So for me, I don't really count it as being any different. Not, you're going to get injured a different way, maybe, but you're going to get injured no matter what you do. Do you know, your injuries are part of life. But the big flack this week with the CEO, Greg, whatever you call him,
they lost.
They're in the news now. The last couple of days.
Their Reebok sponsor.
Did they?
Yeah, Reebok pulled their CrossFit for their sponsor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Big waves happening in CrossFit.
Something to do with the whole thing. Something to do with the Black Lives Matter campaign going on. I didn't read into it, but I think that's what it was about.
I won't say too much going on audio because I'm not fully informed. But no, I think from what I've read, there was the CEO has come into criticism from his own members and affiliates for his views on, like, Black Lives Matter and race and business and a few other things.
Yeah, same. I'm not going to say anything else because that's all I really read was that it was about that and that they lost the sponsors. So
it's not good press. Like,
not good press.
No, but I mean, I haven't seen any CrossFit gym, and there's loads here in Northern Ireland. I haven't seen any CrossFit gym step out to back them up. I think they've all basically come out with statements going, "We support everybody. We're an open community for anybody who wants to come and improve their life."
Yeah, I think it's good now that everybody does have a voice. You know, if he is the owner of CrossFit, or the CEO of it, and he makes a statement, that all the individuals can have their own voice and be like, nah. You know what I mean? So social media's done good for that, by giving everybody a voice.
So outside of the fitness scene, outside of the gym scene, and outside of the One Fit clothing brand, what are you guys doing individually to maintain happy, healthy lives?
For me, man, in terms of happy and healthy. It's all the dog.
Barney.
What?
Barney, my dog.
Barney the dog.
For me, happy and healthy, the most important part of that is mental.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I sort of use escapism. I was saying to you at the start, I listen to comedy podcasts more because I like to just escape from it all. I'm actually off social media now at the minute.
Right.
I just can't handle it anymore, man. It's just, I just can't, it just doesn't mix well with my head. I was actually talking to Aaron Smith this morning, and he messaged me about me coming off social media. And he was like, do you know what it is, man? It's, you're a creator, and for the last 4 months you've been a consumer because you haven't been able to create. So like, all I've been consuming these last few months is just constant negativity about like lockdown and coronavirus and people dying, and then the Black Lives Matter stuff started, and then I'm seeing police brutality and all, and innocent people being like beaten and tear gassed and the whole lot, and it's just fucking wrapped my head.
It's heavy, man.
It's fucking heavy, man. And like, on top of that, I'm like, everyone's got their own demons as well. You're already dealing, man. And if you've any like family issues or financial worries at all, and then this is just beating you down. And whenever you're in lockdown, it's every fucking day, all day, it's and you're on your phone a lot more.
Non-stop.
Yeah.
I just can't fucking do it anymore. So I was like, no. Like, so that's what I'm saying about the mental side. I just had to come away from it. So like, for me, staying happy mentally, I listen to podcasts, comedy podcasts, sort of watch stand-up. I just love comedy. I love laughing. I love other people laughing. And then, as Marty said there, I sort of just bury myself into like my dog. So Barney, anyone that's listening to that is like, 5 years ago, 4 or 5 or 6 years ago, I wrote down in my iPhone notes about getting a golden retriever, and his name was picked. It was Barney from that time. And that's how much it means to me, man. And like, I used to watch golden retriever videos on YouTube. I used to look up how to groom a golden retriever, and then the comments would have been like, who's watching this about grooming a golden retriever and they don't even have a dog? And that was me, like. So this is years and years and years, and then I got my dog, and then that's pretty much what I do with my time away from business, is my dog and keep myself sort of happy mentally with comedy and forms of escapism.
You have enough self-awareness to have identified those things, man, to go, like, you know, here's avenues of negative, here's some avenues that I can use for positive. Because a lot of people aren't there yet.
Yeah, man, it's even on Twitter. On Twitter, you can go in and filter words. So I went in and I blocked out the word hate, die, kill, racist, racism. I blocked.
Do you just have like a white blank feed now?
See,
like, no words.
Refreshing.
You know what I mean?
It's nothing here.
No, kittens, I was gonna say.
Just kittens.
Just kittens and pictures of Barney. But like, yesterday for talk's sake, I got up in the morning and I didn't check my phone, like Instagram or anything, and I got up and I just made breakfast and I was in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before I had checked and it would have been like fucking someone shot in Chicago or fucking, you know what I mean? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just would have completely knocked me down.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have even wanted to make breakfast. So now I'm done with it for now. I always said that if I didn't have the business, I wouldn't be on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And at the minute, my photography business is on pause because of lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do a photo shoot over a webcam, like, so I don't have the business at the minute, so I'm off social media.
Right.
So for me, that's how I sort of stay happy and healthy. In terms of physical health, whenever this all comes down, I was talking to a guy in Belfast, C-Mac, Cormac Burns.
Yeah.
He has an MMA gym, Titans MMA.
Mm-hmm.
So I've already said that I'm going to go down there and start training again. I was at SBG in Belfast for a while. Was it last year, the year before? No, it was last year.
Last year.
But then a lot of stuff happened with the family and stuff. It just completely knocked me for six. So I had to take a few months off work from Almac, three months I was off.
Mm.
So then I was like, training just sort of took a back seat there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just about getting back on my feet in terms of that way. But at the minute, priority number one's mentally.
Yeah, man. I tend to talk about progression, not perfection, as just like a catchphrase.
Mm-hmm.
About like, things don't all have to be perfect and line up. And
yeah.
And yeah, I think that's huge, man, what you were saying about your mental health, about identifying, you know, those positive and negative aspects of what's affecting you. I do think a lot of people just have no idea of how things affect them.
That's it, man. Like, what's the saying? Like what you do daily is what you sort of become, type thing. Like, your daily habits is what you become. Seeing you're constantly consuming that fucking dark coverage every day of like the media, the news and stuff, you don't even understand how much it's affecting you.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God.
Mm-hmm.
People have no idea. I see anyone listening to this, go off social media for a week or two, just completely go off and see your mood change.
But it becomes like it's such a huge outlet. I'm part of my podcast and what we're doing right now is that I tried to create something positive, a space for something positive, mm-hmm. because I didn't want to fall into that trap of just flowing all that negativity back out my little platform that I've got. Because like you guys have a very successful set of platforms, right? You've got a lot of following. You've got, you know, you guys are good at your media outlet. I think there's a lot of people out there right now who are soiling their own brand just by spouting negative stuff, loads of it coming off their social media brands.
There's a lot of people getting a lot of hate over the stuff they're commenting.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I've actually seen it was last night. I just happened to see a guy on my Instagram. I'm not saying any names, right? But he shared just a screenshot of a video and you could see the profile was posted from. And I was like, this is absolutely disgusting. So I went and searched for the name and I went into the video. And it was somebody else posting a video of another fitness influencer. And this guy had 30,000 followers. And like, I'm not going to repeat the stuff he was saying, but it was like so fucking racist. With everything going on at the moment. And he's just lying in his bed beside his girlfriend saying this stuff. And he posted it. And like, you want to see the amount of comments going like, I've lost so much fucking respect for you. Instantly unfollowed and blocked. And like, I can't even understand how you would be that stupid to post something like that. But how would you be that fucking egotistic to think you could post and get away with it?
I don't know. But I think back to the first week of lockdown where I actually closed up my clinic before lockdown. I was saying you guys because it was just, I think a fairly good understanding about how things like, you know, sort of public health and world health works and just as a health professional. So I just didn't feel that it was appropriate to have such a close contact business happening when there was an emerging global pandemic coming. So I closed up a little bit before lockdown, but those first couple of weeks, like I was up at 5 o'clock every morning and watching the overnight news, do you know? Yeah. BBC News 24 at 5 o'clock in the morning, what's happened overnight? There's only so many days in a row you can do that before you start to like reach just a mental and emotional fatigue.
Yeah.
And I had to do the same as you, man. I'd just switch off, man, and stop watching the news and stop scrolling the phone and just leave it.
I tell you the worst is too, you're watching you're obviously watching the mainstream media to see what they're saying.
Mm.
And then there's so many other news outlets and people on YouTube talking the complete opposite from them. And you're like, what's actually going on here?
I wonder, do some people maybe take all that in and take all the stress? And I mean, it does, it puts you under stress and it drains you out, but it's like this echo chamber. It's just reverberating around. And then the only outlet you maybe have is your phone. You know, you can all of a sudden take all this stuff that's just been festering within you. You've been totally affected by the surroundings, by the environment. And all of a sudden, you just spew all this nonsense into your phone, and it's out there on social media.
Oh, aye.
And it's all over your brand.
There was a fella, whatever the whole lockdown started, there was a fella, I'm not saying names again.
You didn't come on here just to slay everybody.
He kept texting me, like, these news articles and these stories, and telling me, like, you know, he was messaging me, like, about them not believing the whole coronavirus thing, and the whole thing, like, it's made up in this year. I'm going, right, that's fair enough, but people dying. Like, explain that.
Mm.
And he's all, that's made up and fabricated all this year, and it's fucking man-made and releasing to the public. And then he said to me, I told you this actually, he said to me one day about the hospitals being empty. And my argument was like, would you rather them full? Like, be happy that it's not as bad as what they made it out to be.
Because
it could have easily been the other way. Like, would you have been happier there?
As if all of the many, many steps that were taken to prevent the spread didn't exist. Do you know? It's not, you know, the COVID wards weren't quieter than expected. By accident, they were because we took loads and loads of measures to hopefully make that happen.
I know, like that's amazing. All of these people that are slating and stuff and saying bad things about us, like, so like, be thankful.
Just while you're on that point, Marty, one of my best mates who lives in London and was drafted back from he's a cardiology specialist and he was drafted back into ICU for the preparation for COVID-19. And this guy is going through the mill emotionally after working so many hours, so many days in a row, and having so many of his patients die right in front of him.
Yeah.
Something he's never experienced before and he will never see again. And when you're working in London, in the epicentre of the UK epidemic, Northern Ireland's not the same. We've got like a parishional community. Do you know, our communities are separate. We don't have any big cities. Belfast is your biggest city, and it's not a city, it's a town. And we don't have that urban environment that's big for spread. And when you're sitting in London, and I'm talking to this guy in tears, who's like, you know, I lost six patients today. Do you know?
Sure. Even look at New York. New York was the epicenter of America, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think it's really easy to be a keyboard warrior sitting at home on your laptop posting YouTube videos all day about Bill Gates, and it's a lot harder to actually be a proper health professional who's got insight, who has worked in intensive care, and go, actually, do you know what? By the way, mate, you're sitting at home in front of your keyboard and you're full of shit.
I don't
know. One place that I try to stay away from the most is comment sections.
Yeah.
See, comment sections just breeds fucking idiots.
I'll say one thing though. I love the comment sections. I love reading the arguments.
So, do you not think, Ryan,
but I laugh at
that if you're having a bad day, did you just imagine... Imagine if I was one of those boys that goes on the Bell Tell and newsletter every day and comments below all their Facebook posts.
There's so many times where I went to write a comment back to somebody and then I deleted it.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to get into that whole conversation of trying to prove them wrong, because that's what the comment section just is like.
Mm.
It's everybody has their own opinion and everybody else is wrong apart from you.
You are, see in the comments on social media, you are arguing with opinion. Like, there's no facts matter. Like you're not changing that person's mind, no matter what you said.
Yeah, it's a doubling down. I don't know. I wanted when you'd spoke to me before about maybe doing a talk with FitCom, and I was away in France at the time, but I really want to do a talk somewhere sometime. I might do a podcast on my own someday, which is about the power of changing your mind, which is we've got this mindset all over the world, but really, really hardcore Northern Ireland about I have decided something and I'm not changing my mind, and it doesn't matter any evidence in the world that you put in front of me, I will never change my mind. I'm like, how can you get to that point so quickly? Like, the Flat Earth Society is a real thing, but you can't change their mind. You can't. Because no amount of evidence in the world will change their mind.
Again, though, right? I fucking love watching videos and reading about them, because I find it so funny, especially the arguments that people argue with them.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I'm different, I just laugh at everything.
That's what I say about conspiracy theories, is that they're a virus in themselves.
It was actually you told me, Rand, to go watch the Logan Paul one he done.
Logan Paul done a documentary type thing on the Flat Earth, but it starts off like serious, you think they're being real, and then it's like a mockumentary. He goes off to like the Flat Earth Society and he actually does a speech on stage and all, but he's just taking the piss the entire time, and everybody's watching him thinking he's part of their thing, like, but
and
he's
just,
not like,
he just lets drop at the end, he doesn't believe it, and like, he's got into the inner ranks of them as well.
He was on stage doing a speech.
But like, I can't speak highly enough of people who embrace that ability to change your mind. Like, who hasn't been wrong about something? Like, we're all wrong about stuff all the time.
That fucker's wrong all the time, but he won't admit it. Fucking thing.
Just fucking admit it, Marty.
I got better at it.
Yeah, fuck. You fuck.
No, I remember, like, especially back in the early days of the business, I would have been more like, if I have my idea, it's right. Where now I'm kind of a bit more leaning that way.
The sort of classic one that we always go back to is the water bottles or the shakers.
Man, they would work.
See, back whenever Fitting Fitness was starting, Marty was like, I wasn't part of it at the time, but he was like, man, I have this fucking class idea. I was like, what is it? A metal protein shaker. I was like, right. He's like, I'm going to get a loan from the credit union for £1,000 and I'm going to order them all. They're going to sell out because Optimum Nutrition sold out. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're a clothing brand. I think you only had like one or two t-shirts at the time.
I had a couple of t-shirts.
It would have been a clothing brand. Didn't have a website. He was going to buy these metal shakers that nobody was going to buy. Fucking hell. But
I cleaned up in the metal shaker world.
He's still not wrong.
He's still not wrong. Yeah. He's still not wrong.
Yeah. All I'm saying is that they were sold out everywhere. We would have been the only place I had.
Well, I thought I was wrong once, but I was wrong. You guys recently started a podcast of your own.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of that podcast?
One Fit All Access.
Tell us about it.
It's basically for the first time, I hate to say the words, but us being 100% truthful with the brand. Because obviously if you're in business, you have to kind of project a certain thing, a certain image on social media. So you have to kind of, you have to project everything's going well. You know that way? So like, there's been times where we've went through a lot of shit and we could never really talk to the public about it because we had to retain like customer trust as our products are part of good quality or that are, you know, all our systems are upkept and stuff like that. So, or even new products are going to come, restocks are going to come. So it's the first time we've sort of been like, right, we're finally in a position now where we can talk back about all the shit that has gone on and then be honest and just point forward.
Mm-hmm.
It was originally called Business and Bullshit, and it wasn't even anything to do with OneFit.
Yeah,
we actually bought the podcast equipment in 2017. That's kind of long ago. We were ready to do it, and then we just kept putting it off. It's something that we need to sort of get better at is executing on ideas quicker. But we sort of said, right, well, what about now? Because OneFit, everything is going a bit quiet here, and we're going to explain why on the podcast. So we're like, give OneFit a voice that it doesn't have at the minute, because like. We struggle to get content because certain things and like things do slow down a bit in terms of product life cycles and what have you and getting the product out. So we're like, right, well, let's just tell the audience and anyone that wants to start a business, number one, how to actually start a business, how we done it, the mistakes we made, so you won't have to make any mistakes. And number two is give the business a voice. So me and Marty's ever on camera, you don't really hear our voices at all. You hear Marty the odd time, but you wouldn't hear me.
Never done hearing him. He never shuts up on us.
I'm the opposite. I'm completely off it. So this just put a personality. It's kind of the same thing with you, man. It puts personality behind your brand.
You spoke to me about that. You told me to do that. You told me to put myself in front of the camera more.
Yeah.
Very intimidating at the start.
Scary. Yeah.
It is scary.
It's scary, but it pays off in the end.
It definitely
does. But that's the whole sort of thing with the podcast. It's all access. And we take questions from every week from the public. Like some questions you get asked is like, how much did you make on this, or how much did you lose in this, or whatever. And like, we're going to go into everything. Like me and Marty's done orders for fucking £20,000, and we've just been fucked over by manufacturers. And I was saying earlier, like we're going to go to court with Adidas, which is going to be in the podcast. We launched things that we thought were going to sell, it didn't sell, and it just fucked us over. And
it's kind of like, we never wanted to be negative on social media, so we never wanted to be like doing posts being like, oh, this happened, blah, 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 and you're trying to like feel sorry for us type things. So you kind of just had to get on with business and be like, right, bro, things are coming, they're coming type thing. Like, then us in the background are working like mad trying to get things sorted because something bad's happened. So the podcast is the first time we can actually just openly talk about it without feeling like we're...
I think that has to be the norm for every business. I think it has to be, because you know, when us three guys first met, we talked about, you know, working in the trenches, like putting in 20-hour days to get set up and start your business and having no help, and like your friends and family, they'll say, oh, good luck, and then you know, some people will help, but a lot of people won't help. You know. And
but you have to be okay with that.
You have to be, because
you have
to
have an iron set mindset of like, because it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter if your mum or dad believes it or not. That has no effect on whether or not it's going to work or whether or not. Know what I mean? It's like you don't need your friend to say yeah, it's a good idea for it to be a good idea.
You also shouldn't waste your energy trying to make somebody believe what you believe.
That's right.
No,
it's like just having your mind, like Ryan said, ironclad mind that you're going to just. I can't make you believe it, but one day I'll show you what I mean.
Yeah. Like, you guys have made mistakes, but like what did McGregor say? You win or you learn. You can't do both.
Yeah.
Right? It was John Kavanagh, win or learn, aye?
Yeah.
So you never lose. You never lose. You just win or learn. Like, every time you quote-unquote lose or make a mistake, it's only a loss if you let it be a loss. So you have to actually take a lesson from that. And me and Marty have taken so many L's where it's like, right, but we've taken so many lessons from those losses, like, and that's what you learn more from rock bottom than you do at the top of the mountain. That's where the lessons are learned. Whenever you hit the bottom and you think there's no way out, that's whenever you learn to go back up again. And you'll never learn them at the top of the mountain.
Like losing 20 grand on a supplier, you've got to learn a lot of shit from that straight away.
Fuck.
I thought the world was going to end because you had
but that will make you worry as hell about your next decision.
Oh man, I swear to God, you have no idea the stresses that we've been through and the stuff like.
It's made, like, see, dealing with manufacturers, it's made me, I hate to say the word, like, but probably more of an asshole talking to them. Whereas, like, I don't want to be your friend anymore, like, because I've been friendly with you and thought I had a good work relationship before, and then all of a sudden somebody fucked me over. That time we got fucked over, that was our second order with them. So it wasn't even like it was our first one. Like, they got the first order off.
It's nearly closed the business time. Like, fully, the business nearly died. I've created with stuff, and
we're all made here.
Yeah, we're all made. We can admit it, like. But it's just if you're starting a business, you have to be ready to put all into it. It doesn't matter what your mom and dad says. It's like whenever I whenever I went to get my first camera, I was living in a house at the time. I was in a relationship, so I remember I came out of that house, walked into my mum and dad, and I needed a £150 deposit just to get this camera. No, it was in finance. And the first thing my mum said to me was like, I'm not being negative on mum, but the first thing she said was like, I just don't want you wasting money. Like, I just don't want you to get in debt, you know? And I was like, I knew what I was going to do with it, so it didn't matter, but I just need that £150. So I borrowed that from them, and then I got the camera, and then, as I said before, I've worked with Under Armour, the whole lot, so yeah. It doesn't matter what... 99% of people's like muscle memory reflex is going to be instant negativity or doubt to what you say. If I went up to someone, and one of my friends from years ago or something, and I said, I'm going to start a business selling microphones, it's just going to be, what the fuck are you on about? What do you know about microphones? But do you know what I mean? It's just instant.
It's almost like protection. Look, it's like they're trying to protect you.
But look, you guys have ended up in this really weird situation, because how ambitious is it to say, right, well, I'm going to start a clothing brand. I'm going to start a fitness clothing brand out of fucking nowhere with no experience and no real knowledge and no capital. And like, you know, both of you dropped out of college. You know, you started off the podcast both telling me, like, you know, we fucked about and and then we decided, oh, we'll just start a successful company. Like, you can't start a successful company, you build it. Like, how did you guys deal with the fact that you will always get naysayers and negativity and people trying to shoot you down, and with a crazy idea like what you had? How do you cope with trying to build through that?
Me and you are quite naturally good this way. You always hear people say, oh, they don't have other people's opinions matter to you, and just first of all, stuff like that there. But we've been quite good to anything we've got a negative comment. We haven't took it to heart against us. We've kind of gone like, fuck you. we'll fucking show you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not like 10 people say, oh, you can't do this, and you start doubting in your head going, why are they all saying that? Maybe I can't do this. It's kind of going like, I'll fucking show you, miss.
Just prove everybody wrong.
I swear to God, man, tell me I can't do something, same with Marty, and I'll do it. Like there's times where I've been editing something, right? And then I just can't get this fucking thing, no to look right on the edit. And I'll send it over to Marty, and he goes, I just couldn't do this wee bit, man. He goes, I know you couldn't do it, like, and I was like, but then I'm like, right, I'm gonna fucking do it then. And then he sends it back, and then I sit for an all while, and then I get it and I do it.
Yeah,
it's like there was one time.
I wonder if there any psychologists listening to this.
maybe I'm just fucked up in the head. But there was another time where we had just worked, and we talked about this in the One Fit podcast. We were sort of working towards rebranding Fitting Fitness towards a sort of more sleeker style. And then invested all our money, we put all our time into the clothing designs, went down to Dublin, and we worked for 3 days straight, editing the whole lot, broke our backs, launched on the Monday, and then I got sent a screenshot of a guy from a group chat, from someone that lived in the area, of course, and it was like, who the fuck do I think they are? Adidas?
Mm.
It was just, and I was like, we've done nothing on this person.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't like in their face or anything. We just launched our new clothes, we're excited about it, but this person... straight screenshot into a group chat, and whenever I saw it, I was in bed, I got up straight out of bed and I went to my computer and I started at it, and again I started working. So you are going to get like blowback, and you are going to get people that talk shit about you, but just fucking use it as fuel. That's what you have to do. And if you're not the type of person that can just switch that on, like Marty said, me and him's pretty good at it, start sort of training yourself to do it by listening to podcasts and self-development, and don't just think it can happen overnight. Actually start developing that skill, so you can listen to the likes of Gary Vee and all them type of guys, and you can start building that sort of strength in your mind.
Yeah.
Towards doing it.
I love that, man, because, a small little part of this wee podcast that I started was, like I said earlier, I wanted to have a positive space out there just where people offered their tips, and like hearing you two guys talk about, take what people say and fucking double down on your motivation. Love that, man. It resonates with other business owners, because obviously I think you guys know that I've been working my absolute ass off for 3-4 years longer, trying to build something, and it's a lot easier to consume than to create, for sure.
Yeah,
big time. And it's also lots, like, I know, like, people get jobs, and jobs is a natural thing. It's safe to go get a job. So, like, see, whenever you try to start a business, you're not guaranteed your bills paid at the end of the month. You know, like, there's no safety blanket there.
Sure. Look at the COVID-19.
Yeah.
We're all fucked.
Yeah, sitting on our asses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But last 2 weeks I have been full of positive motivation, and I've got zero income. Like it's like, well, like I'm doing video calls with patients, which is really good, and it's a little bit of income, but the busiest clinic around with hundreds of people coming through the door every week, and I just went boom, close, yeah, zero. Now all I'm doing is going, well, do you know what, I did a good enough job first time around that I got loads of business and I built a team.
Yeah.
If I just do the same thing again and do it even better and do it even harder and just stay focused, surely I'll get something out of it again. So trying to be positive and not panic. But well, like, what else are we going to do? We're sitting on our hands. Well, like, you don't have any power.
Well, you build a good reputation. Reputation's still behind you.
You spend your time doing something positive rather than going on Facebook and ranting and raving about the government. Like,
you're with every situation like that, you're always met with two paths. You can either go, like you said, positive, or you can go the negative route.
Yeah.
And you can go down it where you are just sitting consuming things, and you just start feeling sorry for yourself, and you say that this isn't working because this and this. Or you can go down, like you said, the positive route. I'm going to start, like, you can go down the positive route and start fixing your systems that needed fixed the whole time, but you were just too busy to do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's the way you, like I said, the way you take things and use it to fuel your business. It's,
like, earlier in the podcast, we had a guy that we all know, Matthew McMahon, on I think it was episode 2. But, like, Matthew has grown his client base during the pandemic. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, Matthew's
that
so
guy has
now,
just
yeah.
hit, he's just got focused, got on his laptop, hit his media outlets with a positive approach, taken extra good care of the clients that he's already got. And all of a sudden, he's got more. Do you know what I mean? Like, how many coaches have grown their client base?
Well, that's it. Like, Matthew identified where people's attention is and where people's needs are at the moment. Yeah. And it's now, people's attention is online on their phone.
Yeah.
And their needs are now at home training and their thing. So they need online coaching for home.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of, like, whenever this all started, the whole lockdown thing, you kind of took it as like a personal attack and sort of got in your own head. Or you could have been like, right, this is the world for the next three, 4 months. So how am I going to enter this world?
Mm-hmm.
Matthew did, like, and he's killing it.
Yeah.
It's okay, as anyone again listening to this, that it does have that type of mindset. It's okay to think that way, but just think that way for 2 minutes and then move on. You know what I mean? Like, yes, it is a shit situation, that whatever situation is you've got into, but then once you've, like you said, identified it, start working on the positive ways to go away from it. Don't just sit there.
You might have to dig deep though.
You're allowed to feel bad. You're allowed to feel like shit for a minute. Like everybody does. Like your natural reactions are going to kick in. But
I've had a couple of bad wobbles. Like
we all have.
Big time.
But you just have to get that. You just have to learn to get out of your own head. Like take them and be like, right, I've had a wee tantrum. So that's.
Well, I've had a couple of patients on the end of the phone who have been at home going, oh man, I'm on furlough. I'm on 80%. I'm happy enough. I'm barbecuing with the kids, and they've sounded very calm. And do you know, I'm happy for them because they are calm and they don't sound stressed. But like it's a completely different animal to go, God, like I have, you know, mortgage, family, house, I've got commitments, I've got outgoing bills, like all the companies that you pay outgoing utilities to still want their money.
Yeah.
Oh,
do you know? So yeah, I mean there's a huge difference there between a business owner and an employed citizen. Like
it's like I said, safety blanket. You know, like
yeah.
You don't have a comfort of safety behind you.
So gonna just start moving towards the end of the podcast here, because I genuinely think us three boys could sit and chat all day, and I think if you put a box of beer in front of us, I think we'd be having a serious good time. But so I'm gonna start sort of heading towards the end of the podcast. I wanted to ask you a little bit about sort of outside all of the work stuff, like when you get away from work and when you get away from the dog and whatever else, when restrictions start to ease over the next couple of months, boys, like what's gonna be the me time, what's gonna be the personal time for you guys for the next couple of months?
It's going to sound really, really sad, but see for me, bro, it's one of the gym.
Gym.
I think buzzing to get back to the gym. Just it's headspace, though.
Yeah.
I can go in and shift a bit of tin about, you know what I mean?
You done any home workouts?
A few, but they're just not for me. Like, see, I know I should be doing home workouts flat out, right? But
yeah.
I just enjoy lifting heavy.
Yeah.
And I can't do that at home.
It's impossible to buy equipment right now.
It's impossible, or you pay through the freaking nose for it. But to be honest with you, getting back to the gym and bars with my mates again, like
seeing
getting out
10 quid a kilo for plates is pretty incredible. Like,
it's extortion. I'll tell you one thing though, if you want to build a home gym, right, wait a few months after this is over and go on Gumtree. Everybody's gonna be selling everything they've bought for dirt cheap.
Yeah, it's like Easter eggs.
Wait
till the day after Easter and go buy your Easter eggs.
Yeah. Well, I also think a lot of people will keep their home gyms as well. I cleared out the garage and I'm gonna keep it. I'm gonna keep it as a.
Yeah.
I think a few PTs are actually a bit scared of that. Like people sort of working out at home and it's working. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have to go to the gym, and like, and I think a couple of PTs are like, fuck.
But people enjoy the gym. Like, yeah. I mean, there was one point there recently where I had three different gym memberships, do you know? Yeah. Because I wanted to go where I wanted to go on a whim based on the day of the week, yeah. You know? I don't think gyms need to be worried. I think more than ever we see the value of that head space and that physical space.
Even the community aspect of going in and talking to people.
I think you can have a home gym and work out there 2-3 days a week, but you're still going to want to go to the gym.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are going to respect gyms a lot more because they've just seen the price of equipment. Whenever you want a treadmill for your house, you've seen that they were starting at maybe £700-800.
Yeah.
But the ones that, if you want one in the gym, they were 5,000-7,000.
Yeah.
Like if you wanted the gym sitting there with full racks of dumbbells and you couldn't buy one for £100.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In terms of what I'm going to be doing, it's just I just want to get back to sort of creating things.
Yeah.
That's pretty much me at the minute. Like I said at the start, Horn Smith said I'm more consuming now than creating. Instead of adding to social media, I'm just sort of taking from it. And it's taking all the bad things from
get
it.
Get back to what you're good at, man. I was grateful to you to do that little video for me recently. The little running video.
Yeah, very nice.
And you had it done like that.
Yeah. So
I suppose it's easy work to you, though.
Handy enough, yeah.
As opposed to what you were telling me about before we hit record, which was photoshopping her off people's knuckles. Off
Bodie's knuckles, yep.
Say no names.
Yeah, actually, no girl, their knuckles, I won't say that.
It's because you've shaved them.
I haven't shaved them.
Do you shave your knuckles?
No.
Of course he does.
The hair comes to here and it starts again here.
Okay.
Yeah, they skip the knuckles.
That's because you're dragging them around the ground. The hair can't grow in them anymore.
Kyle, I was talking about you. What's your advice going to be when everything eases off again?
What's my life going
to
be?
What's your advice going to be? What are you looking forward to getting back to?
Yeah, definitely looking forward to getting back into a little bit of proper gym training. That's the thing again, it's going in and out of the gym and just meeting some people you know and like just, you know, getting... I love that moment where you walk in the gym and you just scan the gym and you look around, you see everybody doing the shit. And I just love seeing people get active, you know?
You walk around, you're like, I can outlift you.
That's what people like.
I'm looking forward to that. But definitely, man, I don't know if it was you or you, I said to somebody about, like, I want to just go out to dinner. I just want to go out and have a meal.
Yeah, normal day.
I'm looking forward to that. Just eating a coffee or something. Going out for
people are missing connections.
Yeah.
At the minute, people are missing connections. I actually saw, like, a statistic of brands are now starting to tag people more in their like, stories and stuff because more people are now clicking through on them because they're missing that connection in real life.
So social creatures, like we've evolved to be close communicators and live in groups, you know. You isolate people away all from each other and it's not good for our health, not good for our heads.
No, definitely not.
So definitely looking forward to just being out in busy coffee shops and even queuing outside B&Q where you have to keep 2 meters apart. Just something unsettling about it. Do you know? I
don't like. And see what I know. Stupid, but see going into Asda or Tesco and having to follow them routes.
Don't like following rules. You
know. It's like
we have to follow rules.
I want that cheese. I go all the way around the back. You know what I mean?
Just to all listeners, please follow the rules for a wee while longer. Just a wee while.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to getting out to a restaurant, grabbing some food, man, and doing normally grabbing coffees. Looking forward to going back to the gym. And do you know what? I just want to be back to business. I know it sounds weird to say about going back to work, but like, I love work. I love going to work, man. I love meeting people every day. I love helping people. Send somebody out the door after 3 or 4 sessions, they're going, oh, this is amazing. I can't believe how good I am. I get a better feeling from that than just anything.
See, your work's very social too, because you're one-on-one with people. So you're also, I know you're missing the work, but you're missing that connection every day.
Yeah. So definitely just seeing those people. I was on the phone to one of my staff recently and she's really missing being at home and she's missing all, and she said, she can't wait to come back to work and just meet people every day. She misses all our wee patients. So looking forward to just seeing people again.
It's definitely made us appreciate people, hadn't it?
I was going to say a lot of people are going to start not taking things for granted as much. I think a lot
hopefully,
of people will learn.
Hopefully.
I think they will, man. But it's been a rough year, like.
For a while, maybe.
2020's fucking...
Stick up a Christmas around, tree and call it a day.
2020 is just like it doesn't exist. Like
the right off by fast forward.
The history books just skip it. Like.
I think for the football, we should just skip it. There's no way. I think you should give Liverpool a title. blank, just a blank mark in the history books. We're going to close up, guys. There's a million things that I would love to ask you about more. I want to ask you right now to do another episode with me if we get out to series 2 or something, please.
No problem.
But look, I'm going to ask you both then the silly little questions that I ask at the end of my episodes, right? So both of you, please. What's your favourite movie?
Fuck.
Whoa.
If you had a gun to my head,
let me just.
Is there a genre or just in general here?
No, favourite movie of all time.
Have you ever seen Dead Man's Shoes? Shane Meadows, director?
No, I don't think so.
Dead Man's Shoes is good. I love Shane Meadows. Dead Man's Shoes, This Is England. Fuck, Goodfellas. Goodfellas up there too. I like sort of story-driven movies rather than like action-packed ones. Me, personally, like. That's just me.
I don't think Fast and Furious won any Oscars, did it?
No. Fast and Furious is not... that's not me, like. Fast and Furious 8.
Yeah, you like a piece of art, like.
I like story.
Although I got emotional at the end by whenever he was driving off, you know, that last one?
No, I've never seen them. I've seen the first one.
First one?
Mm.
Right.
That's what's your favourite movie? Right.
Fast and Furious.
I was a sucker for Ace Ventura's, but
yeah.
I love all the really, really stupid comedy.
That's
the
Doubtfire, but
that's Doubtfire, no. Love Ace Ventura's, but Dumb and Dumber's the originals.
I'm a big fan of, I am a personal big fan of Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey's great, but back in the day.
Yeah.
The mask was overrated. Or underrated, sorry, the mask. It was overrated.
So you're going for Ace Ventura?
Ace Ventura, I'll tell you what, if you want story driven, right? The most recent film I've seen that was really, really good was like one of the last films I seen in the cinema was The Gentleman.
Yeah,
it was a great watch. It's a story driven.
I've heard of that because I heard Kermode Mayo on their podcast talking about it. And you went for Dead Man's Shoes or Goodfellas? Gotta kneel you down on this, like, you know, everybody needs to know.
I've watched the both of them so many times.
Yes, Ventura, that's right.
So, who would be your ultimate dinner guest?
Fuck me.
Ooh. You're really going for the jugular here, but.
Dinner guest? Have I to cook?
Yeah.
Can I go for a chef then?
It's a pretty open question.
That's
like
a really hard one, though.
You have to answer it. You know, think too much. You're just leaving dead time on the podcast there.
Serious question.
Marty. Who would be your ultimate dinner guest?
You're going to call me nerdy as fuck here, right?
There you go.
Darth Vader.
No, close up. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes.
I swear
love it.
Proper chatter that man.
Yeah. Like.
Joe Rogan.
There you go. What an awesome pick.
Joe Rogan, that's a good one, huh? Yeah.
Do you know? Like, you guys host your dinner party together and you've got Joe Rogan and Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about stuff. That's going to be a volatile mix.
I watched them episodes on repeat a few times.
Who'd yours be?
Tyson calling Rogan a bullshitter.
Oh, here, Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, bro.
He'd be a good one too.
Yeah. He'd be a great guest.
I even wait 10 minutes on responding to.
Yeah. Who would yours be?
I've never been asked that. Funny enough. That's the funny about having a couple of podcasts sitting opposite me is like you keep trying to turn it on me the other way around.
Well here, favorite film of all time and dinner guest.
Fuck you. I don't know. I'll change my answer in the future. Do you know what? I think recently it would have to be between two. I'd love to have favourite film easy, Fight Club. All time best film of all time.
Cult classic.
Ultimate dinner guest, I'd love to get Roy Keane to dinner. Do you know?
Oh, yeah, I was some crack.
Roy Keane?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you watch his interviews and stuff?
And like, you know,
I'm on the football.
But like, it doesn't matter. Like, he's Roy Keane, do you know?
Yeah, just go back doors on that.
Spend 30, 40 minutes just trying to get him warmed up to talk to you.
Don't laugh at the pitch.
Apparently he's got a real pet hate about being asked to take photos with people.
I've seen the pictures on Twitter. Where
what's the hashtag? It's like
I can't remember, but it's like it has the caption of what he said.
Yeah, it's all the people who this is what Roy said to me when I asked him for a photo.
Yeah, right.
Well, I have to fucking do it now, don't I? That wasn't a good Cork accent. So I think I'd love a bit of Roy Keane on there. But stop doing this to me, please. Right, and what is your next adventure, Ryan?
My next adventure, fuck.
Think big. What's your next big? What's the next big thing, mate?
Business or personal?
You say.
Business wise is getting OneFit back to where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds like a kind of a boring answer because OneFit we've been doing it for 5 years, but if you listen to the podcast, you'll see how low it went.
Mm-hmm.
How much it's taken to get it back to where it needs to be.
But this is what listeners should know about people. I want to interview people who are building a successful lifestyle, personally and professionally.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that keeps coming up again and again, is when you ask people, what's your next adventure? Look, definitely some people will go to like a holiday in Mexico, 100%, huge adventure.
Yeah.
But loads of people just go, work. you get back to work.
Yeah.
That just tunnel minded vision, that sort of determination.
I suppose too, the reason I'm off social media, man, is just, it sounds kind of cheesy, but it's like, find me again, like, type of thing. Like, I feel like social media sort of changed the way I think and the way I sort of view the world. So I'm coming off it for a few months just to try think different, and try just not have any outside influence on the way I view things. So part of that is setting some sort of personal goals and just getting up in the morning and focusing on them and just doing them and not having to fucking tell anybody that I'm doing it or post about it to get likes or vote in my poll of what I should do next. I just
getting back just in touch with your way.
Yeah,
people talk about your way.
Yeah,
it's definitely a lot of negative input. Like if you're trying to sort of better yourself, there's a lot of negative input going there.
Yeah,
like you say, you listen to podcasts and stuff to try and better yourself, and then you go on social media and everybody's just slobbering.
Your answer for why you get out of bed in the morning doesn't come from your phone,
No, it definitely comes from
inside there somewhere.
I've seen a lot. Something I've tried it a few times, right? But it's hard to do around the social business. A lot of successful people all say that for the first hour out of bed in the morning, do not go near your phone or your emails.
I said I done it yesterday. Yeah. And it's horrible.
Happy breakfast.
Yeah.
It's mad.
I've done it a few times and it's great, but like I just have a habit of getting up and checking my phone.
Yeah.
It's definitely a good tip to take away. If you don't take anything else from the shite that we've talked today, take that from today is ignore your phone for an hour until after breakfast is done.
Yeah.
I did it one day this week, but I ended up in a terrible mood straight away because the dog had done diarrhea all over the yard.
Should check your phone, mate. Made a funny meme there,
He's getting very old. His balls don't.
Dog life.
Dog life. What's your next adventure, Morty?
Kind of the same as Ryan. Get one foot. Obviously, if you listen to the podcast, Ryan says 2018 was our worst year ever, and 2020 getting back on track, then COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of spanner in the works. So get one foot back to where we want it to be, no, it can be. And then, personal, I don't know. I really want to start traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Like even just like a week or two here and a week or two there. But it's just trying to get
well, that. That's not going to be easy either after COVID-19.
No, I don't understand what's happening anytime soon. Yeah. Like, but
you're gonna have a week in Spain followed by 2 weeks of isolation when you get home.
I've got Bali in my head. I want Bali to be the first adventure holiday going.
It'd be nice to see people going back to holidays at some point soon, but who knows how it's going to work out. So look, guys, absolutely brilliant having you on the podcast. I really enjoyed chatting to you, and we'll probably chat for a wee while after this is done, but we're going to finish up the recording. But before we finish off here, do you just want to spit out just what your social media handles are and that kind of stuff? Give people a bit of a plug and a bit of a shout out if they're not familiar with OneFit as to what your stuff is, please.
If you're not familiar with OneFit, our social media handle, so Instagram is just at OneFit, so O-N-E-F-I-T, and so we're a fitness clothing brand from Northern Ireland. We deal a lot of basically our thing is that we want to do luxury items without the price tag, so we're making the best quality items we can, and we're not charging through the nose them. So you get more than what you pay for, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's our thing. Just two guys, two childhood mates doing our thing and loving it along the way. So
and we can find you in all the usual places, YouTube, Twitter.
Find us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, a whole lot.
Mostly Instagram. Cool.
My social media handle is MartinHarson01 at Instagram, and then Ryan.
My social media is Ryan Mac Creative, but
yeah. You're MA at the minute.
MA at the minute now, but I'll be back in a few months.
Cool. Yeah. Excellent, guys. Look, thank you so much. What a great episode, and we'll definitely get you guys on again.
Thanks for having us.
Bye-bye.
How good was that? Those guys are incredible on the mic, but I'm not surprised. You know, these guys are used to being on the mic and recording. They have their own podcast, One Fit All Access, where they talk in more detail about their own business. But I really can't wait to have those guys for a second episode. That was fantastic. Really amazing story there, where they talk about losing 20 grand on one order, which nearly put them out of business overnight. So I found it really refreshing to talk to those guys that day and get a little bit more confidence and a little bit more focus on my own business plans, knowing that other people are out there working just as hard. So really hope you enjoyed listening to that episode. We've got another 5 cracking episodes lined up for recording over the next few weeks, and hopefully we can feed those out to you guys about every sort of 2 to 3 weeks. Thanks for any subscribes, any likes or comments that you may give, and look forward to having you with us for the next episode. Take care.